Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Douglas Impulga. This evening we'll talk about how some dictators are using the internet to silence dissent. And with us tonight is Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening to our listeners.
And joining us from Dallas, Texas, is Hussein Kiflo. Kiflo is a political commentator and is joining us from there by phone. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kiflo.
Thank you, Douglas. I'm happy to be with you once again, and greetings to Suleiman Mugula in Durban, South Africa.
Thank you very much. Yeah, gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight, we're looking at how the internet was meant to be to democratize views and to allow people access to exchange of information and social networking, but how now some dictators have figured out a way to censor expression by government-led internet shutdowns. Let me start here in Dallas, Texas. Hussein Kiflo, we have noticed in the recent past, in Uganda's elections recently, internet was shut down. In the conflict in Ethiopia recently, they shut down internet and telephones in the Tigray area. In Sudan, it happened. It's becoming a common practice. So what's your general take on these government-led shutdowns?
It's obvious. Like in the case of Ethiopia, Ethiopia has always been notorious in stifling free expression, even long before the advent of internet technology came into the picture. And when internet came into the picture and when social media was created, they realized how a threat it is to their dictatorial rule, and they saw it in the Middle East during the Arab Spring. It has become a tradition. You know, the young generation have become tech savvy, and it gives them freedom. There is no editing, even though it has its own downside. But for the most part, it's an empowering phenomena, and so it's no surprise. Tyrannies in Ethiopia, in Uganda, in Sudan, that they would be scared by this, and they shut down internet. In the case of Ethiopia, like I said, this has started long before. And the irony here is, during Malala Zenawi, one of the cyber spies who does this work was the current Nobel Peace Prize winner, Abiy Ahmed. He was in charge of the electronic cyber spying area. In addition to shutting down internet, eavesdropping Ethiopians' communication, especially in the diaspora, he was also adept at creating cyber bullies that try to intimidate vocal voices on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter. So now he's continuing. Now that he's on the pinnacle of power, he's continuing the same diabolical tradition more aggressively. Nothing has changed. People have been deceived by this man globally. I, for one, has never been duped by this man. So that's what's happening in Ethiopia. In the case of Uganda, Museveni had a semblance of free press, even on the internet. He pretended to embrace the new technology. He even pretended to be tech savvy himself. But now there is this young man, Robert Chagulani, or better known as Bobby Wine, who is in the entertainment industry and who can attract a lot of young people from the younger generation who are the majority of the Ugandan population, like anywhere else. And because of his cause and people-oriented music, he commands a lot of respect. He commands a lot of interest than Museveni. And that's not, they try to underestimate, you know, they underestimate Bobi Wine. They try to write him off. But this man even, you know, is eloquent. He's better in stating himself than the stuttering current president, Museveni, who always rigs election. I saw Bobi Wine's interview on Al Jazeera, on BBC. So now he's facing quite a challenge. And in the case of Uganda, it's not only shutting down internet. At one time, Facebook was forced to shut government-linked accounts because the courts of Museveni, while they deny, while they shut down internet on ordinary Ugandans, but they go on Facebook, on social media, with a false duplicate name, and they try to boost Museveni's power. So Facebook was forced to shut down government-linked page.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember at one time I was surprised on Twitter when Ugandans were denied internet access. Some government courts, I know, like Ofwono Pondo, probably, correct me if I'm wrong, Paddy Ankunda, they were tweeting. I was asking myself, from where are these people tweeting? Are they in London? Are they in Nairobi? And while Ugandans were denied access to internet, they were tweeting in favor of their boss, Museveni. So the way they shut down, it's not only shutting down internet. They even, you know, duplicate. They come with false names. So, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised if Museveni has another account in another name. I know in Ethiopia it's very common. They have accounts in another name, and they bully on cyber dissident voices. So that's what's going on. And one thing that I would like to add, journalists like Andrew Mwenda, who used to be very critical of Museveni, now they justify that for the sake of stability, that internet should be shut down, and it's a small price to pay, which is very, very wrong, which is not true, which is false. So by shutting down, by denying people you know, the right to speak, the right to express themselves, if you think that you can maintain the stability of a nation, that country has already on the precipice. So it's very sad to hear people like Andrew Mwenda. It's not only in Uganda, in Ethiopia, we also have people who used to be very vocal against Malala Zenawi. Now they applaud everything Abiy Ahmed is doing, which shows that their beef with Malala Zenawi was not with his undemocratic rule, but in Ethiopia, and sadly, it seems like there is this vengeful mentality against the rule Malala Zenawi established in the name of Tigray. So we have all these challenges. That's what I can say.
I see. Suleiman, it appears that those strongmen across the world, but we're now mostly concerned about Africa, they have got another tool in these communication technologies, new ones, which can, apart only they can shut them down, they can use them to surveil and spy. This is another dangerous tool in their hands now.
Yeah, it is no doubt it is the latest weapon which they are using, the latest from the weapons which they have used in the past. As you recall, in the past, they used to gag the traditional media. Now, with the advent of the internet, it helped the citizen, it helped the ordinary people to bypass the traditional media, which are always held captive by the dictators. And as you have said, it is not Uganda which is the first to gag the people using the internet. Chad has done it, Gabon has done it, Gambia has done it, The Republic of Congo has done it, as my friend Hussein has said, Ethiopia has done it, and Cameroon. So it is one of the latest in the arsenal of weapons which they have. But what is so surprising is that the way it is done shows the standard of leadership which we have on the continent. It shows how disconnected they are, how detached they are, how rusted they are, because shutting down the internet is not about shutting down the people who oppose you. It is not about shutting down the opposition voices. Shutting down the internet in the 21st century actually means shutting down the life of the country as a whole. And that is what happened in Uganda. And that is what has happened in other countries. And the cost has been so immense. It is estimated between the cost, the total cost which it costs is between $3 million to $5 million a day in every country where it has been shut down, because you are shutting down the whole country. In the 21st century, life in the country, internet is one of the cogwheels that move the life of nations. So in Uganda, for example, shutting down the internet meant shutting down government business, shutting down the activities of the central bank, shutting down the revenue authority, shutting down the commercial bank, shutting down the mobile money services, shutting down the borders, shutting down the airport, because all these ones use the internet. So it is not as simple as our dictators think, that they have shut down the opposition voices the way they used to order, shut down a particular newspaper, and it is that newspaper which is affected. This one is bigger than that. Most of the systems are linked to the internet. So that is why I'm saying it shows the standard of leaders. It shows how our leaders are so rusted. A lot of money was lost as a result of closing down the internet. Even the government itself, surprisingly, it didn't even know that the internet itself is used by the biometric machines which we are going to use in the election. They didn't know that the internet which we are closing down was the one to be used to transmit election results from the voting centers to the main tallying center. Even tallying its results itself, you have to use the internet. So that was an act of stupidity. It shows the system which has got no checks and balance. It shows the system which is micromanaged by a few individuals who do not have time to consult others, who don't even see beyond their own eyes. So it was a very devastating thing to shut the internet. It shows a certain degree of rustiness in the system. And I think they have paid for it as a country. It has been a very big, it has given him a devastating loss as far as I'm concerned.
I see. And for those joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight we are discussing government-led internet shutdowns as a result, with the effect of silencing dissent aided by communication technologies. Kifuru there referred briefly about the hypocrisy about shutting down internet on one hand, but then using these communication technologies to spy, to intimidate, to manipulate and the population. Expand on that, Kifuru, because I've traveled in many African cities now where you find a lot of cameras on the streets. And a lot of spying is going on, aided by some countries that are supplying African countries with these gadgets that they can keep their people under watch. Are you concerned about that?
Yes, because as you know, in many accountable governments where they established accountable system where they truly are democratic. You use street cameras and other devices for the protection of the people, not to spy upon them, not to invade their privacy. Even when they do that, you know, they have to make proper explanation why they have to use cameras. But yeah. In our case, in whenever they use technology, our rulers, whenever they use technology, it's not for the benefit of the people. It's not to protect their people. It is to spy upon them, to control them. We have seen the way they do, like Suleiman Mogula said, these rulers, in their greediness, they don't even think that when they shut down internet, when they sabotage this technology that has become vital to the economic life of people, that they would be damaging the economy in a long-lasting way. For instance, these days, you know, even in light of this coronavirus pandemic, almost every communication, every business has become what they say virtual. All over the world, people have interact through the internet. And when you shut down internet, that's what you sabotage. What they're doing is, it's very concerning. To come to your point, to the point that you raised, yes, I'm very concerned when this technology is in the hands of our rulers. It's very, very concerning. Because history has shown us time and again that they abuse this technology. Like I said, Abiy Ahmed, when the moment he came to power, after pretending that he would reform, a month later, he started shutting down the internet. And the excuses, the farcical excuses he gives is starting from, now national exam are going to be stolen, so internet shut down. Wherever there is mass killings by vigilante groups, by his own so-called defense forces, he shut down internet. So this is what has been going on. And then they put camera to spy on people. Like I said, like I pointed out, Abiy Ahmed was a cyber spy during Mullah Zenawi's regime. He used to eavesdrop communications, especially between diaspora. He deploys cyber bullets. That is what is going on now. So it's very, very scary. But they can't beat this because they can't turn the clock back. Now, this is the age of internet technology. The young generation has become so savvy, and whether they like it or not, virtually all business is done by internet. So for their own selfish interest, they have to open up internet once in a while. And when they open up, like I said, the young generation has become so savvy, and so they share information. They expose their excesses, and ultimately they would remove them from their power, and hopefully they would the young generation hopefully would also establish genuine democracy that is accountable to the people.
Suleiman?
Yeah, as you've said, unfortunately what is done is so crude, is so primitive the way it is done, because if there were checks and balances, these particular governments would have consulted, would have seen the effect of closing the internet, and then they would seek justifiable reasons why the internet should be used, which should actually be shared with the citizens of a particular country. But here, they hide under national interests, and you ask which which national interests are at stake. If a government realizes that using the internet at a particular election time would cause some security problems, can't it have any other preventative measures that can be used to protect the national interest? But when you look at it deeply, you realize that it is not national interests which are being protected, but personal interests of the president or of the dictator which are being protected. So internet is being weaponized to fight the or to fight and silence the voices which are going against him. So as far as being a sensitive matter, as you've said, it is very touching. It is very worrying, because as you realize these days, with the new technology which is there, they are eavesdropping on every communication which is done against the opponents. They can arrest you anytime. They know, they can track you very easily using the modern technology which is available. So it is not only shutting down, but even when it is in their hand, they are using it negatively to harass, to intimidate, to oppress, and to further separate the voices which are fighting against them. So it is a very difficult situation which the African populations are finding themselves, especially when they are dealing with the dictators, because now the internet has been weaponized. They are using it in various ways in order to gag the enemies and to suppress the enemies who are fighting against them.
Now, I'll throw this one to both of you as we wind up this program, beginning with you, Kifulu. Given the nature of the current communication technologies, individual countries, autocrats, dictators can, as both of you have pointed out very well, can misuse it. What needs to happen? Is there a need for a combined or international sort of set of rules that should be adopted? Because individually, these countries, left to their own, they will keep doing what they're doing.
I don't know what can be done technologically, because I'm not qualified to say so in terms of technology, but the international community can come up with a rule that those who deny internet access, because internet access has been declared by the UN that it's a basic human right, they should be condemned. And also some kind of action should be taken, like passing sanctions on this government, because internet has become so vital to the economic and political lives of ordinary people. But in the meantime, what I advise, especially educated people from the old school who are not that tech savvy, I think they have to change their tack. There are a few people left with conscious men and women of goodwill who challenge dictators like Museveni, like Abiy Ahmed, but they are not that much on the social media, on Facebook, on internet. I mean, on Twitter. These are tools that you can address ordinary people, and our rulers, they are using them. Whenever they don't shut them down, they are using them by deploying their cyber bullies. They are using them to misinform. So what intellectuals from the old school who are not tech savvy should go out and make themselves tech savvy and challenge these people. After all, it might sound a platitude, but there was a saying, I don't know who said it, I'm always with the opinion of the learned if they speak first. In America, in the United States here, because the intellectuals mostly were not that tech savvy, were not that proactive on Twitter, the Donald Trump dominates Twitter and even managed to be in the White House. mostly the intellectuals are not tech savvy. From the old school. Mm-hmm. So now we have to change our tack. So I think that's those are the two options that I can see to deal with this situation. One, the international community has to pass sanctions against these tyrannical regimes who shut down internet at will for their selfish interests. And two, we, the ordinary people, would also we should also change our tack. We should never give up on the internet, on Twitter, to communicate with the younger generation, to inform those who have been misinformed by demagogues. We should inform them. We should set the record straight.
I see. Suleiman, what's your take on that?
The system is meant to liberate citizens of the world. Nobody can touch it. The dictators who are trying to weaponize it are out of touch. The system is not only helpful to the citizens, but it is also helpful to governments. In the current pandemic which we are in, the world is mobilized around the internet. Touching it, you are touching life itself. So we don't even need to do sanctions against them. They are just out of touch. They are outdated. They just have to wake up and know that they are poking their nosy where they are not supposed to be. They themselves use the internet. The government uses the internet. Everybody uses the internet and social media. And the current generation which we have of people, they cannot live without the internet. Therefore, it is not internet which is the problem. It is those who are trying to stop it, who are interfering, which are a problem. Therefore, we have to deal with those people on their own and conscientize them. However rusted they might be, we need to make them aware that they are doing a wrong thing. And even if they try, like the way they are trying, the current generation overruns their systems. They close it, but they don't stop them from communicating. There are still other ways in which they use, and they still communicate. So it is a futile effort for them to try. It only shows how disconnected and how detached they are from the current situation. But we hope they wake up. Some people close to them will talk to them, and then they will leave the internet and social media on their own.
Well, let's hope for the best, and I hope they are listening, and maybe something will happen. And that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my panelists, Hussein Kiflo in Dallas, Texas, and Suleiman Mugula in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're most
Thank
welcome, Douglas.
You
very
have
much
a great day, have a great day, all of you, Suleiman Mugula in Durban, and
thank you very much.
Douglas in Washington.
Thank you. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear our roundtable on the internet. All you have to do to access it is go to our main website, click on Programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, wishing you all the best.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. On the next Straight Talk Africa, the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines has started as new variants of the coronavirus are spreading across Africa. Join me, Linor Moudou, and a panel of experts to answer your questions about COVID-19, the vaccines, and assess Africa's response 1 year after the pandemic. on a special edition of Straight Talk Africa.